Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I have a very special guest today, Arturo Grasso, the founder and managing partner of My Lawyer in Italy. So welcome, Arturo. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Hello, everyone.
So I know you're well aware that more and more people are looking to get their Italian citizenship, especially from America. So I'm hoping that we could give some people some good advice and guide them in the right direction.
Yes, we will.
So the first question for you is, can you explain the difference between getting your citizenship approved by the consulate in the U.S., establishing residence in Italy, and then petitioning the court?
Sure. So in reality, the standard process will be through the consulate. For someone living in the U.S., they should apply to the consulate. However, only some lineage can be brought to the consulate, like a male lineage. If there's a woman along the route in the lineage, which has who gave a birth to a child before 1948, that application can be not filed with the consulate. The consulate would just reject that case. So a standard case, say great grandfather, grandfather, father, applicant, must go to the consulate. This was true up to before COVID, perhaps, because since then consulate became packed and they have no appointments availability. So they give the chance for a new route of the process going to court, because people that are not able to apply to the consulate today can file a petition to the court and say, hey, judge, the consulate was not able to give me an appointment. That's like a denial of citizenship. And so the judge, you must take the case. The judge takes the case and looks at the paperwork and decides, yes, on behalf of the consulate, and says, yes, you're a citizen of Italy. So standard route is a consulate. Second route, the alternative, if the consulate is not able to decide, is the court. If you have a 1948 case, the only route is the court. Only way to get approved a citizenship, recognized a citizenship, is the court. Now, the third alternative is setting up a residence in Italy, come to live in Italy for some time and get the process done in Italy. The process done in Italy is just the same one like the consulate, so only male line. Or if there's a woman, the woman must have given birth to a child after 1948. Otherwise, they will not take the case. So both the consulate and the comune, they're just thinking the same way. They say, hey, what's your lineage? Is there a woman before 1948? Yes, no. If there's one who gave a birth to a child before 1948, either the court or the comune or the consulate, they did not take the case. So that's a standard route. You can go both to the consulate and the comune. If the not standard route is the court, where you can apply only if you have a 1948 case, a woman given birth to a child before 1948. The court also takes cases where someone is not able to get an appointment with a consulate. So in addition to the 1948 case, since the COVID, and especially in some countries like Brazil and Argentina, where they have no chance to get an appointment at all since last 10 years, they're able to file a case to the court and apply with the court. In the past, all cases were filed with the court of Rome. From June 2022, we have to file cases in local court, depending where the ancestor was born. So this is the main difference. The other thing to consider is that, the one with the comune in Italy, with the municipality, though you have here, there's plenty of availability. There's no case of no appointment where you can get an appointment. So if someone moves to Italy and does this in Italy, they will have appointment. But they've ready to move in Italy, set their permanent domicile in Italy for a while, get to the process. And some comune are able to do that in a few months. Others, they take longer, like the comune in Roma sometimes takes even a year to complete the process, a citizenship process. And the person has to live, is supposed to live in Italy all the time. Of course, if they have a business at work, they may go in and out, but theoretically, they have to be there whenever they look for them. because the chance is that someone is looking for them, they're not there, and they close the process because it's not available. So that's the tricky thing with the comune in Italy. But whoever can move, fine, that's fantastic. If they can live it, if they have no job commitment, family commitment, or they can move a part of with the family, I mean, it's fantastic. They can come right away with a package of documents, because what allows them to stay in Italy without a visa is the package of documents that proves they are of Italian descent. This is very important. Some people come without a package, they have to leave because they cannot prove they are of Italian descent.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. So in my case, I have all my four grandparents were all born in Italy.
Yeah.
My father's father, he naturalized, but he naturalized after my father was born. And my other three grandparents never naturalized at all.
Yeah.
They never. So even my mom's parents never naturalized either. And the interesting thing, I guess, about me is I was born in 1951. My brother was born in 1946.
So, and if there's a room, this is a kind of discrimination, but there's not really much we can do. I have several cases like this, unfortunately. With the 1948 case, people that with 1948 case, the one who were born, children born to an Italian mother after 1948, they can go to the consulate or to the comune and file the application. But the one that the descendant of someone born before 1948, I mean, your children were born 1946. If there's a, if you, you know, you go to a lineage where your mother gave birth to you and the mother was Italian, then you cannot apply with a consulate or with a comune, but you have to go to the court. There's another way for you.
So is there any advantage of petitioning the court opposed to doing something else? And then also in working with Leonardo, I think if you did do the petition with the court, you can add extra family members as long as they're in the same
right.
line.
I mean, the court doesn't need, because you're represented by the attorney in court, you can, add as many petitioners as you want. Of course, it's better to limit, because the judge would be, some judges really get confused with so many petitioners. They get, also stressed about big cases. However, that's true, but that some cases cannot go to the consulate of the comune. So the 1948 cases are not a route at the court. You have no options. With the 1948 cases, no option, then go to court. The advantage with the court, one of the advantages, the judge can make assessments. Most of them, Americans, they misspell the name in when they were in the U.S., or they changed the name, not officially, they just went with a different name, by a different name, especially those with an Italian name, which was not easy to Americanize or pronounce, I don't know, Giacomo is fine, perhaps, or Tommaso is fine, it's easy, Thomas, Antonio, Anthony. But if you had the name like Gaetano, there's no equivalent really in the U.S., or Salvatore. Most of them, they went by Sam. They entirely changed, they're having the chance, they entirely changed the name. They went with a very different name. So when you have these discrepancies or with some dates, year of birth, they're told to be born a couple of days before, a month before. And in court, a judge can make assumptions. It can rule upon the case. And if you provide enough evidence and say, hey, look, judge, we're talking about the same person. Look at the pants. They were the same pants for the same year from the same comune. Things like that. We put, additional information. And the judge can make an assumption and say, okay, I'll rule upon the case. It's the same person. So it's easy to cover with that. But with a consulate, it's not. So with a consulate, you have really to change, try to amend documents, otherwise there's no chance. So lots of people, they get rejected by the consulate because they have a big name misspelling and they're not able to cover that. It's true that in the US you can have a court order, it's called one and the same, to with a judge to rule upon a case and say this is the same person, but some people in some states cannot. Another thing to consider is that when there's a marriage certificate missing, a document missing or birth certificate missing, you can never do it to the consul. The consul wants birth and marriage about everyone in the lineage, sometimes even the spouse. In court, again, the judge can make assumption. So if I can prove this, there's a baptism and there's an additional document proving the assistance, you know, there's no birth, but there's a marriage. You have a death and you have a baptism, or you have some kind of documents proving this person was born in somewhere in the US. I mean, a judge can make an assumption and say, yeah, I rule upon the case and say, yeah, I can see the person exists. This is in the lineage. The lineage is fine. And the judge, you know, decide that's the citizenship. With a consul, you can't do that, especially without a birth certificate. You can't bring a baptism or things like this. Very, very impossible to do with a consul and with a comune. Comune and consul, they stay on the same page. They just think in the same way and rule in the same way.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because when I was getting the papers from my dad, his birthday is April 7th, and he was born in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. And when I got the birth certificate back, it had a date in July. Yeah. And so I called my sister and I said, did you ever hear anything like this? And she said, no, we couldn't figure it out. Then we found another document that shows that he was born on April 7th. And what it appears to be, you know, we're talking 1923 now in a small place in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it appears that when the official recorded my father's birth with the state, when he filled out the birthday, he put the date, the same date that he was filing the paperwork.
Correct. Yeah.
So it was an honest, goofy mistake, but legally. So then I said to my sister, I said, well, she had my father's passport. I said, what does the passport say? She said, the passport says July. I said, well, I don't get that. And what we think, my father was, they were coming to Italy. They had to get the passport. My father probably just went, well, whatever date they put on there, because
he didn't care. As long as he's got his
passport. As long as he got the passport.
Right? Yeah. You know, we had done, because of this common mistakes and misspellings, or they Americanized the name, which is, not, you know, the less complication is an Americanized name, Giovanna, Jenny, or something like that. John, Giovanni, you know, that's easy. But most of the time, they make very big mistakes. Or they add an additional name, middle name, which is very common in the U.S. Or, you know, they change the name. I still remember a case where someone born in Italy with a name Capa Bianca, which the translation in American would be white head. Mm-hmm. So when he came to the U.S., when he in the 90s, he said, what's your name? Capa white head. He didn't say Capa Bianca anymore. So, and the family has the kind of, you know, descendant with the same last name. So it entirely changed his last name. But in court, you can explain the judge, and, you know, if you bring enough evidence, you can do it. In very complicated cases where there's no clue, or there's no way for me to explain to the judge in Italy where this comes from, so we need a one and the same in the U.S. and say, hey, judge, to the client, hey, client, you really need to do this in the U.S., also because in the U.S. it's easy for a judge to make a decision on something which is, you know, they it's your practice. We had a very interesting study made in conjunction with a company in the U.S. to explain all this going on along the years in the U.S. with name change and name discrepancies, and adding middle name as a standard practice of common law, or changing name. There was no intention to make fraud. It was acceptable in the U.S. or in common law system. So we had this extensive study, which we will add to petition, where there are this kind of mistakes, to explain the judge, the Italian judge, how this is from the legal point of view in the U.S. So that will support, you know, the judge make assumption in these cases.
And to your point, you'll love this story. My mother was supposed to be named after her aunt, Rachel or Raquel.
Mm-hmm.
And her name was on her birth certificate. It says Raquel Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
But shortly after my mother was born, my grandmother had a fight with her sister-in-law, Raquel.
Oh.
And so my mother was Caroline
That's it. She
It's
canceled
over
first
in
meet.
Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
So,
it's allowed. It's allowed in the US, not in Italy. In Italy, we're so picky with names and last name. The process to change, if you want to change a name, there's no other way. I mean, there's a lot of people that you call Giovanni, and on the birth certificate, it's called Antonio, but they have to be recognized in any documents as Antonio. You can't just, the friendly or whoever knows them, they call him Giovanni. Perhaps it happens. I have cases where I know people like this. But officially, whenever you write something, it has to be the real name on the birth certificate. And you have to have parents on the birth certificate, both parents, last name and first name and last name. And it has to be consistent on every document. To change something is a very complex and convoluted process to do that in Italy. So when someone, especially a comune or a clerk at the consulate, looks at the names, it looks from that perspective. He wants the name consistent. We still have fights sometimes because the judge says something in the ruling when we have a court case, and when we go to the comune to have the record transcribed, registered there, they say, "Hey, but I see this name. They changed the name from the birth." Yeah, but the judge said, "Okay, but we can do that. Hey, we're no longer discussing this. It's over." The ministry, the respondent, was at the proceeding. He didn't say anything. That's the end of it. The judge ruled. And the decision is final, so we convince them to know. But they're really obsessed with name in Italy, name changes.
So now, when you go to the comune to record an American who gets granted Italian citizenship,
Yeah.
are they? I mean, is it like do you get like a birth certificate or some
Yes,
certificate? Or
correct. When
really?
we file the process in court, the judge says yes, that judgment, that ruling must be final first. And once it's final, only the justice system knows about this person becoming an Italian citizen. We have to bring it into the system, the
Wow.
government system, because wherever the police or another municipality is going to look, or someone is going to look for this person, identify the person, they must have an information about this person. And so we have to transfer the information from the judicial system into the governmental system, the administrative system. So we're going to send it to the comune where the ancestor was born and say, "Hey, you have to register this as a descendant of this person." They only register the last bit of it, which is only the petitioner from the court ruling, not whoever was behind them. So in your case, who are the petitioners? It's you. Your children, who are the petitioners? So behind you, nobody will be registered unless they are petitioners. If they're not petitioners, that documentation will stay with us and we will give back to you. We will send to the comune the documentation of every petitioner, birth, marriage of everyone. So they're going to register them. Once you register there, everyone in Italy and at the consulate, the foreign consulate, will know that you exist as an Italian citizen.
Wow, yeah, I didn't
And
realize it went that far.
that's when they get confused because they say, "Hey, but this birth certificate says it's called this way. Why on his passport or the judge said it's a different name?" So they get confused. And you register with the name, and the next thing to do is you go to the consulate because you want to register there. You're going to want your passport from there. And they say, "Okay, who are you?" And you show them the passport and identify yourself. They said, "But I see that that name doesn't match with the one on the birth certificate." "Yes, of course, there was a change, and we have to get across this problem with explaining why they have to do your way, the way you are in the US, because that's your identity, your personality, especially women, that they change the last name, they take their husband last name, and they put them most of the time their maiden name as a middle name." So we have to explain all these differences.
Yeah, that's what makes genealogy research much easier in Italy than in America because the women don't change their last name.
Right.
So once you're granted citizenship, what rights do you have? Do you have the rights of an Italian?
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com.
Well, this is something that you must understand. I mean, everyone who is facing, who believes is of Italian descent, and they can have the documentation that proves there's a descendant, you are Italian. It's just a matter to bring it, to make it aware, the Italian government, that you exist. So the right is with you already. It's just a matter to say, hey, here's, you know, can you see here? I'm the son of, and then he was the son of. So it's you are as an Italian citizen. So recognizing someone as an Italian citizen means you're right. You are an Italian. You're descendant of that person. You have all the rights the same as me. I was born in Germany from Italian parents. I'm Italian, and I have every rights possible to an Italian. So any kind. So there's a, you know, the Italian welfare system, which you know, the voting system. We have, I know that we have the same share as you have in the US. I mean, same politicians, the same, you know, sorry, they're all the same all over the world. But you know, it's just saying that I'm voting in Italy with an Italian. You can vote for an Italian municipality. You can, if you something happens, I know that something happens in Thailand, and you would go for the Italian, for the American flag, because you know the American embassy, they everywhere, consulate. But in addition to that, you have also the protection of Italian consulate and embassies. So you have two options, or multiple options, whatever comes first or wherever you close. And you know, you got all the rights just the same as an Italian traveling all over Europe, because we have like in the US, open states, or no security check across Europe. But as an American, you cannot go from one state to another one freely, and you can stay as long as you want all over Europe. EU countries, of course, not Europe, geographical Europe, just EU member states. But that's, you know, just traveling the Schengen area without any check. Mm-hmm. At all, flying from Italy to Germany to France without any check at all, yeah, and stay as long as you want.
That's a big advantage, and you know, yeah. I want to do it. I want to have my kids
colleges.
Because yeah. I was going to say the colleges, yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, I just heard from a friend of mine. He's dual U.S. and Italian. He said he was sending his child to the college in the Netherlands. So I said, oh, I'm interested. My daughter may be interested too to go to the Netherlands. He says, may I ask how much it is? He said, you know, it's really valuable. It's only 5,000 euro per year. Wow. I said, it's very interesting. I said, the most complicated thing is accommodation, finding accommodation, which is more expensive. He was also trying, said, I was trying to see also if I could apply as in the US, because foreigners from outside the EU member, they have priority on accommodation. So he said, okay, he tried as a US citizen, said, no, it was a full fee, which is 35,000. So, you know, so being American there would be, being showing the Italian passport will bring your fee down. So you may use the American passport for the accommodation and Italian passport for the fee.
Well, even accommodations here now in the colleges are like, it's just out of control. But I don't think, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize that whether it's children or grandchildren, that especially, you know, if you're able to petition the court, that, you know, they could go to school very, very cheap over there. And plus, it's just a great experience all around anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So if somebody wants to start the process, so how do they go about starting the process, whether it's, you know, gathering the papers
or
with you?
Just let me give you last reason. Several people want to come to Italy and live in Italy and say, oh, I'd like to go to Italy and live in Italy when I retire. But Italy is not open. You only can stay 90 days. Theoretically, I know that, you know, I have several friends at the Fiumicino airport, and they say they don't really care about American tourists, how long they stay in Italy. However, people feel, you know, that's 90, that legally it's 90 days limit. So you have to stay 90 days a year, then 90 days out, or in a 180 days, you can stay 90 days in Italy, in Europe, and in the Schengen area, actually. And so in Italy too, and 90 days out of the Schengen area. That's if you buy a house, a property, that's the limit you can stay, unless you get a visa, which is an elective visa, where you prove to the, but it's complicated, go through the process to the consulate and show how much money you earn, how you, where you're going to stay, what you're going to do, and they're going to check on you and then provide the visa. If you have Italian descent, you get an Italian passport, you do whatever you want to do. So you come retire, you get, you know, tired about Italy boards, about something, and you go back, then you go back again, you're free to go. But people, they're planning to stay in Italy without being of Italian descent. It's really complicated. It's just like, you know, the other way around to the U.S. Nobody can just plan to come to Italy to the U.S. for, stay for longer from the time allowed by the U.S. law. So back to your question that you said, the question was, what's the first step?
What are the steps, yeah.
Yeah, steps. We get telephone calls from leads that say, I know that I'm Italian. I want to start the process. We say, I'm sorry, we cannot, because we do not know where if you really qualify. So first thing to do, to prove to yourself first that you really, I mean, that you are of Italian descent, you might be of Italian descent, without no doubt that your great-grandfather was an Italian born in Italy. However, there are some conditions to be recognized as an Italian citizen today, because if your ancestor naturalized before the child was born, there's no, he broke the lineage. So we cannot prove to the Italian government today they are conditioned to be recognized as an Italian citizen. So first thing to do is, the very first thing is, okay, you were born, you believe that you're Italian, you are descendant of an Italian ancestor, someone born in Italy. First of all, find this person, find the birth certificate, which is very important, because people say, I believe that my great-great-grandmother was born there, but we can't find the document. There are genealogists in Italy who are very experienced with this kind of documentation. I get a chance to promote Francesco Curione, 007. It's very famous.
He's
for
the
that.
Best. He's the best.
Oh, my goodness. It's really. I just met him last week in Cefalù.
Really?
I've been to Cefalù. Yeah, we've been together. And they think he came from there, but if we can't find a document, there's no starting point. I cannot, you know, I just said that we, it's hard in court, we can prove, but someone going to the consulate without a birth certificate, the first birth certificate, there's no way. We can have additional evidence, like, you know, in court, a baptism, but we need to find the person there. If we just think, if we can't find a document proving the person was born there, or military service, for instance, saying that this person served with the Italian military at this time, so he was born in that comune, that's an evidence, because some comune, they get fired, they get, floating, whatever, and they miss the documentation. But we need some clue and to bring to the judge. But that's the starting point. Without that document, there's another way. And after that document, the second important document would be the naturalization record, something proving that this person came from Italy and did naturalize or did not naturalize. So, and this is the second evidence, because if by chance you get information that this person naturalized before the child was born, he broke the lineage. So you have to find, if you have, in your case, you have four lineages, you have plenty of lineage to discover. But some people said, oh no, my great grandmother was Irish. So there's no other way to get around this. My only ancestor was my great grandfather, but he naturalized before his son was born, and so the other line is not, he can't work. So those two are the most important documents. All the remaining, you know, to be found at birth and marriage for the court system, the consulate and comune sometimes also require the death certificate and the spouse birth certificate, not in court really, not unless we have to prove something in addition to, you know, there's something missing, so we need all discrepancies and we need additional documentation. But normally we do not need, we just need birth and marriage documents. So we don't take cases without evidence. There's a birth certificate or something proven at birth, and there's information about the nationalization. I just said that you can also, I mean, what we need for naturalization is the document saying they naturalized or they, the ancestor did not naturalize. If they did not naturalize, that would be a certificate of non-existence of record. Now, this document has to be pristine with the birth certificate, because some people come to us and say, I have a certificate of non-existence. What did you write on that? They just write the, you know, maybe the Americanized name on with a date with just a year, which was out of a couple of years. So that's not, that can't work. I need something which is pristine. I have to tell the Italian judge, look, we have, this is the birth certificate or the evidence of a birth certificate in Italy. And this is the matching certificate of non-existence of record. So don't bring documents which are closed because the judge will not accept, and not even the consulate. Well, actually, the consulate, when you have a certificate of non-existence, they ask for additional evidence. They say, okay, if you have a certificate of non-existence, you should provide also a census for the previous year, 5 years, next 5 years, or get to the local county or NERA and find for additional information to prove that really there was no naturalization. We don't do that in court. Actually, in court, the last presidents of the Supreme Court of Italy said this is something that the applicant should not even prove, bring evidence. It's on the respondent, on the Ministry of the Interior, to bring a negative objection and say, hey, judge, we object. There's a naturalization record. So theoretically, we should not even bring any naturalization information. But judges are, you know, there's a practice to bring to the judge. So the judge is happy with that. Case closed. And that's, a, you know, we move forward quickly ahead.
Yeah, you know, I know three of my grandparents, but my mom's mother and father, I actually have their enemy alien card from the U.S. because they were they had to register as enemy aliens in 1942.
Yeah, well, that's an evidence that we were going to end up with a certificate of non-existence of record, which is faster to get in comparing to the actual naturalization record. Before the COVID, USCIS, which is the American authority that provides information about naturalization, was able to provide a genealogy search about naturalization in a few weeks, a month, months and a half. Then slowly went up to 3 months. Now it's like 10, 11 months. Mm. So it takes a long time first to have a genealogy search to know if they did naturalize or did not naturalize. And then once you know that they naturalize with USCIS, you have to procure the document, which takes another for them another 10 months, perhaps another year to procure. The fastest way would be through the NERA. If you're able to get, you know, information, precise information to get from the NERA, fantastic. Which is, I believe it's a couple of months. The alternative, when you have a non-existence, you have an alien card. So you ask the USCIS and they provide a certificate of non-existence in a couple of months, 3 months maximum. So it's easy.
Because, you know, obviously the alien registration card, I think it has some kind of number or something. If I provide them that number, they should be able to find that pretty quick then, yeah?
If you have a naturalization, yes. Not always. The most important thing is perhaps to know what court they did naturalize. So you can go to the NERA and ask to the county or the NERA to find the naturalization pretty quickly. That's the fastest way to get them.
I'm going to have to do that for my grandfather. And then I'll probably send in, as you know, working with Leonardo, I'll send in the papers for my other three grandparents anyway. You know,
but did he naturalize? When did he naturalize?
He naturalized in 1939. And my dad was born in 1923.
Okay. Now, let me tell you this story, 1939, 1923. In up to 2019, in the, we were up to 2022, we had all cases filed in the Court of Rome. But from starting from 2019 in the Court of Rome, they rejected cases like yours. So it was funny because the consulate would take them and the court
Of
would
course, we're
not, but they
rejected.
rejected. So what's the ground? What's the matter? So they come with this approach, with this legal argument saying, hey, there are two different articles in the law. One is the one that the consulate uses, which is number seven, article number, provision number seven. And the court said, no, we should apply provision number 12. So we went to the Court of Appeal, and the Court of Appeal sometimes said, no, the judge is right. And some other times, because we had different panels, the judge is wrong. It was crazy. It
What's
was
so different
absolutely
here?
crazy. So luckily, now that we're moving to local court are not taking this kind of issue. They're just ruling in the same way the council does. So this court, we call this the minor case, was it was a big complication with people, especially with people that had no appointment with the consulate, and they looked at the court as an alternative. They came to us and say, I've heard that we can go to court. I said, yes, but tell me, when did the it's a male line, yes. And did the grandfather, did the ancestor naturalize? Yes. Was the child, but the child was born. But how old was he? If he was less than 21, the Court of Rome from 2019 up to date, they're rejecting all the cases. But again, luckily, the local court are not. And luckily, also, the Court of Appeal in Rome are overturning all these minor cases. So it's something silly because, of course, the judges in Rome, they still stick with this precedent and with this approach to reject and believe that article number 12 applies, but they do not. So I suggest people that have to go today before the Court of Rome with a minor case say that someone is born nearby Rome, so the ancestor, and they have to go to the Court of Rome. The Court of Rome is going to reject the case, the first judge, and we need to go to the next step of the process, appeal, which will add just additional time to the case.
Yeah, well, we would be, my dad's parents were both born in Turkola,
Oh,
outside of
Cercola.
Naples. Yeah.
Yeah, on the Vesuvio.
Yeah,
That
yeah.
would be the Court of Naples. The only thing with the Court of Naples is very nice. Everything is fine. Judges are nice. They just have long hearing dates, like 1.5 year out.
Yeah, and I haven't been able to prove this 100% yet, but I have an article from a New Jersey paper in the 1920s, when my great grandmother Julia Pinci passed away, and her husband was Achille Sorrentino, and it says in this article that he was a Supreme Court justice in Naples, but I haven't been able to find anything in Italy
Wow.
to prove that. So I'm still on the hunt. I'll have to put Francesco on the case.
Bob, I told you I can help on that because I've come from that area. I grew up in that area. And my brother-in-law is from Cercola. So
Yeah. So,
let's see.
well, the interesting thing about it is, I know that he was an attorney, and the marriage record, for him and his wife, I don't know if I would call it a record, contract, is something like 20 pages long, because my great great grandmother's father was an attorney, so they wrote this massive document about, him marrying her. It's really, really. I'll have to send it to you. You'll get a kick out of it. It's
There must
really
be a lot
funny.
of property involved.
Well, I think they. Well, again, they were attorneys, so they must have had stuff. And then, actually, in this record, this newspaper article, it refers to Achille as Marquis Achille Sorrentino. So, but I don't think he was a real noble. I think it was maybe a what would you say, a honorary title or something like that. I don't know. Just my guess. So before we go,
But
if
again,
people, yeah, go
sorry
ahead.
to interrupt you. Again, I can see that, in those ages they married each other, Italians with Italians. It was very uncommon to marry with, people from Ireland, Polish, or whatever other country. And so it's easy that someone has a different alternative. Even in the second lineage, the son of these people, of the immigrants. They still married with Italian, with other Italian people. So most of our clients, they have at least a couple of options. So when there's an issue like a minor case, we always find an alternative and a different route. If there's a 1948 cases or other stuff, so it's easy it's very rare that someone has no options. I unfortunately have a case with someone right now who really he thought to have four lineages, but they're all closed for some reason. They're all naturalized, which is really uncommon.
That's
what happens.
That's really
really, especially for a woman. They did not naturalize if they didn't need to. But some women, especially the one that were very tough and wanted to, some people had very important jobs, they did naturalize. And also because they need to go back to Italy, because when they established the quota system in the US,
right,
you were not able to go back to the US, otherwise you had to go into the quota. So they had to naturalize. And but so again, there are lots of opportunity, lots of chances with people to look at the different lineages to get an option to get this kind of confirmation to be Italian, this stamp, the Italian passport to say, hey, I'm Italian. Yeah, this is another reason for not only some reason that Italian welfare is not a big, I don't think it's a big deal, but there's a minimum level for everyone. At least in, with hospital, with pensions and stuff, which is nice. And school, because school means schooling everywhere in Europe for children, means in every place where member states, Germany, France. So it's not necessary to come to school to Italy. And, but the other option is, it's lots of people say, I am Italian, they're proud to be Italian, and the passport or this kind of recognition is, it's a kind of, an official stamp saying, hey, I'm an Italian.
Yeah, yeah. So before we go, how do people contact you? And when they contact you, what should they have with them when they talk to you?
How to contact me? Most of the people that come through the online, they go online to just Google in Italian dual citizenship or attorney, an attorney in Italy, citizenship attorney, and I'm we display. And there's an 800 number for everyone, so they can go online and Google My Law in Italy and call the 800 number. We will respond. What they need at hand, they need information. First of all, as much information as we need. We can discuss with them, but we will not take case unless they have a birth certificate and a naturalization information, like a naturalization record, a naturalization card, a certificate of non-existence. When we see these two documents, they match and they are consistent, we say, okay, you have a case, we can tell they have a case, and we start to work together. So we have a letter engagement and start to work together. But they need the information, who are the ancestors, where they were born. If they have no birth certificate yet, we recommend to go to 007 and say, get the document first, because that document, some people, they believe they thought the name was a kind of name. And they may have also made a certificate of non-existence for someone with that name or last name. And then when they really, Francesco finds a document, he has a different name or a different date of birth. So that's really the first document to get in hand and say, this is my ancestor. He was born in the state, and he is the next document. He is the man. And if they have a marriage and other people information, that would be nice. So that's the way to start, at least with us.
Well, that's super. I really, really appreciate you taking the time. Good advice for everybody listening. And we need more people getting Italian citizenship.
Italy is very happy to get so many. There are lots of people interesting and circulating in Rome, in major city, in Florence. There are so many Americans of Italian descent. There are lots of Americans anyway, but lots are of Italian descent. They're interested, in language, cuisine, property in Italy, which is nice. It's a very nice way of reconnecting with the Italian immigrants. Our goal is to metaphorically to get this ship back of immigrants saying, "Yo, this is Italians, the Italians said we lost these people because, you know, most all these people left the Italy, the country, just because of the work. My parents were immigrants. They just left because of the work to find a better way, better job. And it's nice to get them back now and know that they happy family, happy people, you know, in the world and in the US.